The Watson Weekly Podcast is sponsored by Avalara, the agentic AI platform automating global tax and compliance for leading e-commerce brands. Head to avalaratax.watsonweekly.com for more details. It's April 13th, 2026, and this is the Watson Weekly, your essential e-commerce digest. Today on our show, Amazon USPS game of chicken, BNPL changes how consumers shop, one company's effort to make an AI-ready catalog of everything we buy, why Revolve is embracing the return culture, and finally, the Investor Minute, which contains five items this week from the world of venture capital, acquisitions, and IPOs. But first, in our shopping cart full of news, the Amazon USPS game of chicken. After months of posturing, leaked threats, and a high-stakes game of who needs whom more, Amazon and the U.S. Postal Service has finally reached a tentative deal. The headline? Amazon is cutting its USPS package volume by 20%. Now, if you've been following my newsletter, you know that the original nuclear option on the table was a massive 66% reduction. Amazon was ready to walk away from nearly two-thirds of its USPS volume by this fall. Compared to that, a 20% haircut looks less like a divorce and more like a slight realignment. Why the drama? Postmaster General David Steiner recently introduced a new bidding process to find the true market value of last-mile delivery. Essentially, the USPS tried to play hardball to see if it could extract more margin from its biggest customer. And more margin from Amazon? Amazon responded the only way it knows how, by proving it could build its way out of the problem. They started courting regional carriers and leaning into their own Amazon logistics network. They effectively said, "That's a nice last-mile network you have there. It'd be a shame if we stopped using it." The Postal Service, staring down a $9 billion net loss starting in 2025 and realizing that the alternative bids from other retailers did not fill the $6 billion Amazon-sized hole in its budget, basically blinked. And for Amazon, this deal is also about pragmatism, not just pride. Even with the world's most sophisticated middle-mile network, the final mile in rural America is still a nightmare of density and cost. Could Amazon have cut 66%? Technically, yes, but it would have been a logistical headache of epic proportions. The USPS remains the only entity mandated to hit every single porch in the entire country. And by keeping 80% of its volume with the Postal Service, over a billion packages a year, Amazon ensures that its 1 to 2 day delivery promise remains intact for the hard-to-reach zip codes while it continues to scale its own fleet in high-density urban zones. If you're a brand or a competing carrier, read between the lines. First, diversification is no longer optional. Amazon was willing to blow up its primary delivery partnership to maintain control over its cost structure. You should be doing the same. If you're 100% reliant on a single carrier, you aren't a partner. Instead, you're a hostage. Second, Amazon Logistics is the real winner. By pulling 20% of their volume back, Amazon isn't just saving money, they're also feeding their own engine. Every package moved from USPS to AMZL increases Amazon's density and lowers its per unit cost, making it even more competitive against FedEx and UPS. The USPS keeps its light on for another year, and Amazon keeps its rural customers happy. But make no mistake, the 20% cut is just the start, folks. Amazon is learning how to live without the postman, one zip code at a time. While a 20% cut sounds like a compromise, it's actually kind of a masterstroke by Amazon. Keeps the USPS on a shorter leash, and Amazon maintains its lifeline to a low-density rural porch while simultaneously shifting enough volume to its own network to crush its own and help their unit economics. For everyone else in the ecosystem, brands, retailers, and regional carriers, the message is clear. Density is the only currency that matters. Our second story, BNPL changes how consumers shop. Here's a summary of a payments report from April 2026 based on a survey of 2,763 U.S. consumers. The core finding is BNPL and installment plans influence where consumers shop, but only when meaningful choice already exists and among consumers who are using these products. Where? Nearly 4 in 10 consumers say availability influences their choice of merchant for travel, food delivery, and events and experiences. Just 21% cite it for grocery and 20% for restaurants. These are categories driven by habit and proximity, not comparison shopping. And the generational divide is super stark. For travel, 62% of millennials say BNPL availability influences their merchant choice, compared to 37% of consumers overall and just 5% of baby boomers. For existing users, up to 87% of heavy buy now, pay later users say availability shapes where they shop. And while fewer than 3 in 10 non-users say the same in any category, BNPL is a retention and stickiness tool for the already converted, not a broad acquisition lever. From a healthcare point of view, on Gen Z, this is the most unexpected finding. More than half of Gen Z, or 55%, say the availability of installment plans influences where they seek medical and dental care, ranking it their top category well above any other generation. And of course, for merchants, financing is a competitive differentiator at the point of comparison, and it's most powerful where consumers are deliberating between comparable providers. It has little persuasive power on non-users or in necessity-driven categories. Our third story, one company's effort to make an AI-ready catalog of everything we buy. There's a warehouse in Bentonville, Arkansas, bigger than two football fields, where hand models, manicurists, and former theater directors spend their days photographing vitamin bottles and washing machine pods from every possible angle. It sounds crazy, but it's actually, I think, one of the most important bets in retail right now. And the company is called Echo, or EKO. And their thesis is simple. AI shopping agents are only as good as the product data they're reading. And most product data is legit terrible. So Echo is fixing it, manually, at scale, one refrigerator at a time. And here's how it works. Product comes in, they shoot it from every angle under controlled lighting with live models demonstrating features. A bottle of vitamins takes 10 minutes. A refrigerator with a water dispenser takes half a day. They hook it up to actual water and electricity to get the shot right. They obsess over things like fingerprints, and they argue about whether a Tide tile dissolves correctly on camera. When a pillow brand asked them to make their pillow look fluffier, they said no, the pillow wasn't fluffy, so they didn't change the image. Walmart has put over $300 million into this company since 2018. That's not a small bet. Why does this matter? Gemini and ChatGPT are both cutting deals with major retailers to enable shopping through their chatbots. And when an AI agent is recommending a shoe, the width, the use case, the precise details, those become the deciding factors. Vague listings lose and accurate ones win. The uncomfortable truth underneath all this? Retailers have historically outsourced product descriptions to their suppliers. Accuracy was never really the priority. And now it kind of has to be because AI doesn't guess. It selects based on what's in the data. The race to be AI ready isn't about payments infrastructure or storefront toggles. Sometimes it's just someone in Arkansas making sure a refrigerator looks natural on the shelf on camera. And that's kind of the story. Something as boring as product data quality. Not the flashiest angle in agentic commerce, but maybe the most foundational one. And our last story, why Revolve is embracing the return culture. While the rest of the retail world is panicking over return culture, Revolve is busy leaning into the chaos. Most CFOs see a 60% return rate, triple the industry average, as a death knell for margins. But Revolve, they're treating it like a superpower. While legacy players like Saks and Neiman Marcus are retreating into bankruptcy or consolidation, Revolve is playing offense, proving that if you give the consumer exactly what they want, fast shipping and zero friction returns, they'll reward you with full price loyalty. The secret sauce isn't just a friendly policy. It's an MBA class in inventory velocity and data. By avoiding depth in any single SKU and constantly refreshing their 100,000 item plus catalog, they've trained their Gen Z and millennial base to buy now or miss out. Over 80% of their sales are at full price, and that's the takeaway. High returns are a cost of customer acquisition, not just a line item loss. As they eye physical storefronts and deploy AI to sharpen their fit technology, the message is clear. In an era of defensive retail, the winner is the one who makes the bedroom the fitting room. Revolve isn't fighting that tide, they're actually trying to own the ocean. And it's possible that the Revolve model could prove that in modern commerce, friction is a bigger margin killer than shipping costs. By treating high returns as a fixed cost of customer acquisition rather than a liability, Revolve has built a high-velocity inventory engine in which 80% of goods sell at full price. It's that time, friends, for our Investor Minute. We have five items on the menu today. First, Ookla, the owner of Down Detector and Speedtest, was acquired by Accenture, yes, the consulting company. Billion with a B for something I could vibe code in 5 minutes? WTF. Story two. Retail decision-making platform ProfitMind announced that it's raised $9 million in Series A funding. Story three. Leo raises $30 million to automate enterprise procurement, LIO. Story four. Retail execution platform Eileen announced it's raised $1 million in pre-seed funding for product development. And finally, OpenAI acquired PromptFoo, F-O-O, to secure its AI agents and LLMs inside its Frontier platform. That's all for this week. Till next time, Watsonians. Hi, I'm Rick Watson, CEO and founder of RMW Commerce Consulting and host of the Watson Weekly Podcast, your essential e-commerce digest. I write a newsletter which you subscribe to at watsonweekly.com, and you can find the podcast at the same location.